It's Randalicious. Welcome to the SEO Rant. I am your host, Wardy Overseen. You might know me better as Wix's head of SEO brand, but I'll remind you that this podcast is pure unofficial Morty Magic and Morty Mania. Where can you find official Morty Magic and on the Mania side? Check out Wix's SERPs Up podcast over at wix.com/SEO/learn/podcast. Why am I pitching another podcast? Because it's my show. I'll pitch whatever the hell I want to. When does the SEO Rant come out? Typically Thursdays, sometimes Fridays, depending on how much work I have going on that week. So it does make sense to subscribe so that you're automatically notified. Where can you subscribe? Wherever you consume podcasts. Where do you consume podcasts? I don't know where you consume podcasts. Only you know where you consume podcasts. But podcasts are generally found on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, all those platforms. So we are there as well. Also on Twitter, which I refuse to call X, at SEO Rant. And check out the SEORant.com. For your listening pleasure today, she is the founder of Lank Marketing. Welcome to the show, Stephanie Pryor.
Hey, Morty. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Just busy as always.
Oh, as always. Not even on the weekends. You're always busy.
Oh, always. 24/7.
Wow. That's impressive. Are you tired?
Yes, tired. So.
Okay, full on pitch. What is Lank Marketing? What do you do for people?
Lank Marketing is a marketing and PR agency. We're based out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, focused primarily on B2B clients. We work in manufacturing, tech, education, healthcare, all sorts of clients. We cover the gamut there. I founded the agency actually in March of last year. So we're just shy of 1 year old. Happy birthday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Happy birthday to Lank. But yeah, I've definitely noticed some interesting trends over the last year running my own business, and I am excited to talk about them with you today.
So these trends kind of revolve around, how do I put this nicely? Brands not thinking long term. Brands kind of being, I don't know, stuck in a box or driving revenue and results, but not thinking about creating a brand with longevity. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, if we look at it specific to SEO, right? I think that there are some maybe like stereotypes associated with people that work in SEO where it's like you're obsessing over rankings and traffic. And in some ways, almost.
No, that's not a stereotype. That's actually true.
Okay, so not a stereotype, actual truth, but in some ways, it comes across like trying to game search engines. And there's a reason for that, right? Like you could drive a lot of business and a lot of revenue by focusing on that. However, like I think that is a very short-sighted approach. What I'm trying to say is that I think around COVID, there was this huge boom in tech and digital marketing. That's not a secret. Everybody knows that. It was like the Wild West of mining gold online during the COVID pandemic. But since we sort of come out of that and life has quote unquote gone back to normal, there's a lot of shifts happening in terms of how successful you can be just with these like digital marketing avenues that really rely on gaming algorithms, basically.
So,
does that make sense?
Are you basically trying to say like it was easy back then because like the whole digital world, which was like on full on boom because everyone went digital?
Yeah, like it was easier. You know, I'm not going to say, it was so easy, but I mean, I've seen, you know, not that Reddit is always the most reliable source, but I've seen stories on there about people starting like drop shipping businesses and things like that and just making tons and tons of money. Yeah. And then all of that revenue just dried up. Just one small example, but yeah, so it was easier, I think, during the pandemic when people were stuck at home and they couldn't go out and shop, you know, to sell things online. And so we saw some of these marketing channels become very profitable. And, you know, I'm not saying that this was specific to the pandemic. I mean, I think that there's always going to be people who are trying to work smarter, not harder, right? And try to get the most bang for their buck with the least amount of investment. But since we've come out of the pandemic, there's really been a lot of shifts, both within marketing, which, you know, tends to respond to the market, right? I mean, it's in the name, where there's things like inflation, right? That's putting a lot of pressure on people. There are other like macro trends outside of, just America, like climate change, right, is something that affects all of us. There's wars happening, right? Like that affects everyone and it affects your psyche. So when we distill that down into like, okay, I'm a marketer and it's my job to sell this product or this service or whatever, you're kind of dealing with an audience of people who are just absolutely like mired in advertising and marketing messages combined with bad news every day. And it's getting harder and harder to break through, but also break through in a way that doesn't feel intrusive, right? Like, I think as a whole, consumers are just, they're exhausted, they're fatigued, they're tired of, at least feeling like they're being robbed blind. Whether or not they actually are being robbed blind is, I can't say, but constantly being sold to. And so there's this sense of like push and pull or tension. And I don't know if that's something that you've felt more of yet or
Oh
no.
my gosh, you're like, I'm sitting here. I know like our video is not working, so you can't see my face, but and the audience here can never see my face, which is a good thing because I have a face for radio and not for TV. I'm just sitting here like, yes, preach. There, I don't know where to start with this. I was doing a recent podcast interview on this very podcast with Ryan Jones from SEO Testing. And one of the things we were talking about, the episode is basically about why SaaS companies suck at marketing. And one of the points we made is that SaaS, you're usually very digital. So like you're like already in the digital marketing space. You're thinking like first and foremost digital, as opposed to let's say you're a barber. So you might be advertising in the local paper also. You're not just on digital. And that the one of the reasons why these companies suck at marketing has to do with the fact that they're so conversion driven, they're so traffic, all the metrics, all the KPIs, all the time, they lose that wider scope of thinking about brand. And in this environment, for a lot of the reasons that you're talking about, people don't want to be sold to. And people are very smart about when they are being sold to. And what you want to do, I think, and I think I'm wondering, you probably would agree based on what you just said. I think the way of the future is creating enough brand presence so that when the consumer says, you know what, I do need to buy a new microwave, they come to your website. Not that like, oh, you hooked them in with the PPC ad while they were in the middle of their journey and you grab them. Obviously, you still want to try to nab them when they're on their journey. You got them with an ad or you rank the piece of content or you got them in social. Fine, I'm not saying not to do those things. But I think what you ultimately wanted, I think what you always really ultimately wanted was to get that recognition that someone says, you know what, I've seen this website, I've seen them, pop up here while I was in the research phase with information to help me choose a new microwave. I've seen them there. They talk about new microwaves everywhere. They're seemingly trustworthy with this whole microwave thing. I need a new microwave. I am going to go to them. And it's much more autonomous and it's much more built on long-term brand building than it is snagging them and grabbing them with some kind of whatever ad or newsletter or whatever you got.
Yeah, the goal is to get into the consideration set for something as, small, even as a microwave, right? Like there's a million microwave companies out there, I'm sure. So really what sets your microwave, or if you manufacture more than just microwaves, or maybe you make fridges or all like all sorts of different kitchen and home appliances, what differentiates your brand from others? Why would people want to buy from you versus others rather than, to your point, yeah, you hooked them with a
That's how
PPC
I
ad
buy, by
and
the
that's good
way.
enough.
I mean, it depends what it is, but if I'm thinking actually of like electronic goods. It happens to be a store here, like it's my go-to because like you just kind of like the out of all the other brands where I live, they just seem to be the most vibrant. Like they're alive. They have an ad here, they have an ad there, they're pushing a post here. They look like they just have like have a vitality about them, which unconsciously, I guess, gives me this sense of like, well, like they're alive, they're trustworthy, they're vibrant, they're on top of their game kind of thing. So I go to them and I seek them out. If I have to buy a new mic, they're one of the websites I'll just type into Google. I'm like, I'll go there and I'll see what the price is, which is what I'm saying. Like, I don't feel pressure. You're not getting me with a PPC ad. You're not getting me on search. You're getting me way before that with your branding.
Right. And there's always going to be, you know, the price point is always going to be important.
Oh,
People
yeah.
that are buying
You
based
actually have
on,
to have a
you
good
know,
product and a good price, or service and a good price.
But, you know, there is also, and so I think that this exact point fits into what we were saying earlier, right? People are being, are tired of being sold to,
Yeah.
right? So that's going to lead people to want to feel that they have more choice in the purchases that they're making. And so I think that's where this brand piece comes in. So of course, yes,
Exactly.
there's going to be someone who wants the cheapest possible product, right? And that's fair. That's totally valid. But for people who are looking for the right product for them, they're going to want to do their own research on that or choose, you know, from their, you know, little mental stash of brands that they like and trust because maybe they, you know, are actively involved in communities where they're manufacturing their products, or maybe they have made some sort of like philanthropic commitment to a cause that matters. You know, these are all things that companies kind of, they know that they should do, but oftentimes seems just like in the service of making money and revenue. And I get it. That's why businesses exist. You know, at the end of the day, we're all here to make money for the businesses that we're working with or for, or we own. But brand is so much more than just those like growth specific
Yeah.
motions.
No, your brand is a whole different beast. It's a whole different way of analyzing. It's a whole different way of using data. It's a whole different beast altogether. Like, what you're saying makes me think of a Doors song. I'm gonna date myself. I'm not that old. I remember the Doors, but I'm an
Oh, I
older
love the Doors.
person.
I have a Jim
Yeah.
Morrison
That's
poster behind
right, you
me.
do. Because you know the song 5 to 1? So the line is 5 to 1, 1 in 5, no one here gets out alive. You get yours, I'll get mine. And when you're an SEO, let's say, and you're like, all right, we're gonna nab them on the Google search, we're gonna bring them in, and we're gonna have a whole landing page with a bunch of CTAs that makes them buy. You might get them. You might. I'm not saying you won't. But there's always, you get yours, I'll get mine. There's always, nothing is free. When you do it that way, if you're too heavy on things, you create an unconscious or a latent negative sentiment. Like, okay. I feel pressured. I feel, even if you do give in to the pressure, right? You're in a conversation with somebody, you've been like, man, I should have stuck up for myself. I gave in too much. So that other person got what they wanted, but it wasn't free. You now resent that person. They may buy from you because you were very heavy-handed with, say, the PPC or whatever it is. And so you may have gotten the conversion, but there's always a price to pay for that. And that's the overall brand sentiment. You feel like that was like, I don't feel good. That was a little icky. Even though I bought it anyway.
And that's almost like when you shop on like Amazon, you can get those icky feelings of, okay, well, I just bought this because it was the most convenient or had the lowest price, but I don't feel good
I don't feel good
about
about
the
that purchase. I don't feel confident about that purchase. Yeah.
And I think that ties into some of those more like macro trends, right? I'm not saying that everybody that like climate change or, you know, or sustainability is everyone's top priority, but I think it's safe to say we're all aware that that is an issue. And
Yeah.
so when we think about our own consumption, right, I think that's some of the like cause behind those icky feelings too. So, you know, and maybe that's not something to keep in the podcast, but like, at least for myself, I know I feel that way often. Like, I try to be conscientious of what I'm buying because I feel bad about my consumption
Yeah,
because there's so
and
much
people have all
stuff.
sorts of considerations around those kind of things. And you want to be the brand that addresses those kind of considerations for whatever they are for your user base. You want to address that because you don't want them buying one time. They buy a new microwave, it's going to last 5 years. You want them to come back and buy another microwave. Now, you know what else you should buy? Also asked. Also ask Minds and Organizes, Google's people also ask data in real time, showing you the next most likely question your searcher is going to ask. Best of all, it's completely free to try. You don't even need to create an account. See, that's Mark addressing your skepticism by saying you don't need to give me your email address or anything like that. You're good to go and try it for free without any of that. See, Mark's a smart dude. Also ask has the world's only API for people also ask data, meaning you can combine this data directly with AI tools such as ChatGPT to supercharge your content briefs and write great content at scale. Go to alsoask.com and use the code SEO rant to get 10% off. Okay, so Stephanie, we're talking about people or brands or companies. They get too lost in the metrics and the KPIs and the traffic and the revenue, and they don't see the wider picture. And as you
Right.
mentioned, like a lot of that happened because it was so easy after COVID that you felt like, yeah, like, this is what's going to work. And now it's not. I think a lot of it does have to do, by the way, with AI, where people are just looking at the web as like, all right, what is this crap? And I'm a little bit more skeptical about it. But what I'm wondering is like, what's your assessment? What's the diagnosis? Why are we this way? Like, were we abused as children? Like, what happened to us to make us not think about like the wider brand considerations?
I mean, I think that's the way that we're programmed. Yeah, that's what happened to us as kids, right? It's just the system that we live in. It's about growth, you know, in the short term, quarter over quarter, we need to come back with results. And that's whether, you know, you work for a publicly traded company or privately held. I mean, we want to see results quickly. But the problem, is that in the pursuit of what will get results the fastest, right? Or help the organization grow that bottom line the fastest, a lot of us have lost sight of what will actually make the business sustainable in the long run. And I think AI is a symptom of that. You know, and AI largely being like a marketing term anyway. I mean, those large
It's
language
not AI, it's a
models.
large language model,
Yes.
and even if it's machine learning, that's not AI either. AI doesn't exist, but yeah.
Yeah, precisely. You know, and I think AI has done wonders for, if we go back to tech companies, right? A lot of SaaS platforms are benefiting from this sort of quote unquote AI revolution that's happening. But I think that again, this main point is kind of what gave us this whole AI frenzy. You know, there's a ton of like, okay, so AI is known for creating bad content, right? Like if you are a content writer or you work anywhere near the content space, you can recognize like AI generated content, like the snap of your fingers. It's so easy.
Yeah.
And so the result of that is then just a lot of really spammy, really bad content. And that's not the path I want to go down in this conversation. You know, I think we're all aware of that. But I think AI then, and this, you know, bad content that it generates, or, you know, I saw a great example in Business Insider. This woman used a job application bot to apply, you know, see how many jobs she could apply for. And she ended up finding that, you know, the bot that was able to apply for the most jobs also did a terrible job and, you know, was providing false information about, you know, her race or what language she spoke. And that's, again, just all indicative of this larger spam problem, which is let's just go for the maximum quantity, right? Let's see how much we can do, how fast we can get these results, you know. The sustainability of those results or the quality of those results be damned. And that's a major problem. And again, you know, to the point that consumers are smart. And I don't even like referring to them as consumers, people like me
People
and
are
you,
smart.
human beings, you're
People are
smart and you
smart.
know who you're
Marketers are
useful to.
stupid.
Yeah. In some ways, like, I don't want to say marketers are stupid, but I think so many times, like, marketers get put in this headspace because these KPIs and these metrics, like their job depends on that, right? That they almost
Yeah,
separate
okay,
themselves
fine.
from
You're
their
trying to be
humanity.
balanced. I'm trying to make like snackable podcast bites. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes, they're stuck in a certain context that creates a really bad incentive cycle. It does
Yeah.
sound better to say marketers are morons, though.
Well, you could say that. I'm not going to
No,
say
I'm not
that.
saying that. I'm saying that it just sounds better. I'm not saying that. I
But
think it sounds better.
you know, I understand why marketers are often put in this position. And usually these metrics or KPIs that they're being held to don't really even make any sense for the business in terms of the actual business objectives. You know, I kind of want to go back to like the SaaS piece, right? Like you had the guest previously who said like why SaaS marketing or why SaaS companies suck at marketing. And you know, I think it's because SaaS basically like they're not going to necessarily have a physical foothold in
Right.
communities, right? Like you mentioned, maybe that more like mom and pop or local brand that does have a presence. So like SaaS companies have a harder time getting boots on the ground, being able to interact with people, you know, face to face or in offline environments. So when you have a complete and total dependence on online marketing for your business, well, I think that lends itself, right, to this very like quantity heavy or, you know, obsession over how quickly you can grow and convert leads and like how quickly you can grow your like recurring like monthly recurring revenue and things like that. But I think those SaaS companies again are kind of stuck in this very like quarter to quarter existence. And again, I understand that that's how things work. In like, sorry,
Yeah,
just
it's
like
also
that little flip out, but
it's like
like,
you're saying with the mom and pop store, they're offline to a certain extent and they have to live in the real world. And in the real world, you can't measure everything. It's not actually possible. And I think, by the way, that's one of the interesting things. I think it's a healthy advent of the cookie deprecation stuff, is that all this data that we never really should have had, that we do have, is going to go away at a certain point. And then we're going to have to function like actual human beings function, which is like we don't have all the information. So you because you're not going to be able to steal grandma's WhatsApp messages anymore, you're going to have to start thinking about like what does your audience actually want and predict and collaborate and create correlation and not direct causation and yada 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 yada. And I think it's going to make us start to think a little bit more like traditional marketers, because back in the day, marketers didn't think this way. Back in the day, marketers knew they had to build a brand because they had to get you to come to them. There was no
right.
CTA button. There was a billboard, and they had to create the impression that resonated so that when you went to go do whatever it is, like you were going to go buy a car, you went to Bob's because Bob had a billboard, and that billboard of Bob resonated. But when you have a digital space with you can lure the people in and then measure it, it doesn't create an incentive. Well, it doesn't create an emotional incentive to look beyond the immediate, because humans are just not like that. We're just like, oh, immediate gratification. Like, share, tweet, great. I can see all of that. It's all measurable. I feel so much more comfortable now. Whereas like real marketing is very uncomfortable. And I think that's a lot to do with it.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree completely. I think going back to like the SaaS example, right? Well, what does SaaS stand for? Software as a service. It's easier for the local mom and pop shop, or if we think about a service-based business, like maybe it's a hair salon or a nail salon or a mechanic, something like that, where they're doing a service for you. Well, SaaS, software as a service, it's also a service-based business technically. But the difference that I've seen between maybe how like SaaS companies operate in terms of their marketing and other service-based businesses, myself owning a service-based business and having worked for other agencies with other agencies, I think in some cases with this sort of quantity over quality, or now near term over long term, I think in some cases it may be a bit of an ethics issue, right? Like if you think about those more like scammy SEO type services. For example, I had someone reach out to me about removing negative Google reviews. And it wasn't like, hey, you should reach out to your customer. Now, I don't have Google reviews right now or anything, but like, hey, you should reach out to your customer and try to resolve their issue and find out what happened so that doesn't happen again. No, it seemed kind of like a get rich quick scheme, right? Packaged as an SEO service. So that's about gaming the system, right? In my mind. So that's like an ethics issue, I think. But then there's also
Yeah.
just a more pure, like it's a quality issue and maybe a clarity issue. So like with the SaaS piece of it, like specifically a service-based business, I've seen so many marketing agencies and PR agencies that have been around for more than 2 decades, right? They have longevity. And the reason is because if you're offering, marketing or PR services and they're not up to par and they're not good, it'd be much harder to stay in business, right? These are also businesses that really care about their employees, treat them well. They're very usually very small and tight-knit, right? So then you have SaaS on the other hand, and maybe I'm getting down, not the most clear path here, but like when you look at SaaS and how many of them operate, again, where it's really just about the quantity of traffic that you can get to the site, conversions, you're missing that opportunity to really build that quality relationship with your clients, right? Like with the people who
Yeah.
are paying you. So I think that's just, it's not that there's anything wrong with wanting to generate a lot of traffic to your site
No,
or
you
conversions.
should. That's a
Like
good thing.
there's nothing wrong with it, But it's about the quality of those relationships that you're
Yeah.
building with the people that visit to your site and having the clarity and the foresight to understand where you want the business to go. And that doesn't mean those businesses couldn't have like a 5-year plan or, you know, a growth plan or something like that. But I often think that that brand aspect of it, that long-term like brand sustainability component is missing.
Yeah, it's just a
And
lack of
one of the ways that
maturity.
we
I don't know
see
where to
that,
put it. Yeah.
yeah. So one of the ways that we see that, you know, in real life is like, okay, going back to COVID, right? There was a huge boom in tech. But now what are we seeing? Well, a lot of layoffs in tech, right? Because they grew really fast and they hired all these people. And I guess I don't know if the thought was just that that trajectory was going to continue forever. But
Forever.
yeah, like, which is just, I mean, when you're thinking about it, like logically, you're like, well, there's no way that you could guarantee that. And, you know, so they bring all these people in, you know, and then they lay them off within like a year or two. And it's just, to me, maybe not exactly the best way to be running your business if you want to maintain a strong brand. Maybe actually let me phrase that a little bit differently, because I don't want to sound like I'm like calling anybody out specifically. But okay, so thinking about COVID, yeah, cause a boom in tech, big hiring like spree happened in tech. Lots of people coming in because they're on this trajectory. They thought this trajectory of growth was going to continue, you know, indefinitely. And so as tech has kind of taken a nosedive over the last 2 years, now we've seen mass layoffs. You know, last year there were over 400,000 people laid off. From tech companies in 2023. So far in 2024, there have been almost 68,000 people laid off. I mean, that's a lot of
That's
jobs
a
that are
lot of
being
people.
lost in tech. And that also is kind of a signifier of very, very short-term view of success and growth within a company. You know, okay, we need to hit a certain number, so we need to offload this
Yep.
many people. Or we need to generate this much more, you know, monthly recurring revenue. So how can we do that? What ads do we need to run? What channels do we need to be on? You know, it's all about just very quick making a buck. You know, it's not, all right, this is where we're at now. This is where we want to get to, you know, by the end of this year or by the end of next year. How can we make that happen? What combination of growth marketing and awareness marketing, you know, pieces of that puzzle do we need to put together to make it work? So, you know, and I don't think that's specific only to tech, but it is definitely a major issue in tech.
Yeah,
So
it's a
I don't
huge
know.
issue, and I think that's a whole other like rabbit hole that we can go down, perhaps for another podcast. Meaning, in the meantime, where can people find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn, just Stephanie Pryor. I'm also on Instagram, YouTube, Threads, underlying marketing, and also Stephanie does marketing. I have two different accounts, so definitely follow me there.
We will do that. And if you're looking to find and subscribe to the SEO Rant podcast, you can do that by going to Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Podcasts while still around, and subscribe there and go over to the SEORant.com and drive my traffic numbers higher so my metrics look like I'm doing better than I actually am, make me feel good about myself, and subscribe there or follow us at the SEO Rant on Twitter and make my metrics even better for that so I feel good about my life because now I have more followers on my Twitter account or the podcast Twitter account, and I'll have some kind of validity for my existence. Until next time, thank you, Stephanie, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Morty.
And to the audience, toodles.